Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today we're going to look at something within, something inside of ourselves. We're going to look at karma and relationship stability that is internal. As we look at all 12 zodiac signs, the factors behind all 12 zodiac signs with focus on Moon, Venus, and Mars, which are the relationship planets. The Moon ruling your emotions, Venus ruling your tender side, if any, and your love nature, and Mars ruling your sexual force or life battery. And as what I'm going to do is go through all 12 signs with analysis of Moon, Venus, and Mars in these factors, and then I'm going to take a look at aspects to decide whether or not we are capable of having one relationship, making a commitment, or whether we are nomadic or a wanderer in nature, and why certain people tend to be the way they are, and why some people end up with permanent relationships, why some people never end up with any, why some people want to be just friends, why some people want to be just lovers, and you know, we're going to really touch on a whole bunch of things today, something we haven't talked about in a while. The 12 zodiac factors, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, are critical to understand when concerning relationships. Because if you are aware that there are 12 possible Moon signs, 12 possible Venus signs, and 12 possible Mars signs, then just to give you an idea of the individual relationship unique qualities that people can have, if you multiply 12 times 12, you get 144. And then times 12 again, you will get, let me use my computer brain here, 1,728 different combinations that people would have for Moon, Venus, and Mars. Like I am a Scorpio Moon, Venus in Cancer, Mars in Libra. You might be a Gemini Moon, Venus in Capricorn, Mars in Scorpio. You know, it's like a lot of it has to do with what you are in your Moon, Venus, and Mars and the person that you would meet. If you want to know why it's so hard to find people that you like, it's because of the Moon, Venus, and Mars comparison. Like, I am a Scorpio Moon with Venus in Cancer and Mars in Libra. So if I'm with a girl who's got an Aquarius Moon that stresses my Scorpio Moon because it's a square, and then she has Venus in Libra, which stresses my Venus in Cancer, and maybe Mars in Capricorn, which will stress my Mars in Libra, then we're not going to get along. And even if we have a short-lived love affair or something that seems tender for a moment, after we get to know each other for a while, it's going to be uncomfortable. Well, you know, so many people have gone through so much discomfort in relationships that they've written a program in their heads that frightens them, and they just decide to totally stay away. They don't want to invest themselves emotionally. They don't want to get naked and have sex with someone unless they test them. You know, it's funny how people say they'd like to get to know each other. If you were an astrologer like Farley Malaris, then you could look at another person's chart and look at your chart and know whether or not you'd have some kind of compatibility. When we talk about compatibility in relationships, we are talking about element coordination or element compatibility, which means that if you have, see, like my Moon is in the water, Scorpio, and my Venus is in the water, Cancer, and my Mars is in the air, Libra. So when it comes to my relationship factors, I am a water-air individual, which means I need somebody who has heavy Moon, Venus, and Mars compatibility in water and air to complement that need for tenderness and communication. The four elements, which are fire, earth, air, and water, are what you need to know to understand true relationship compatibility. Fire signs are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Okay, those are the three. There's only three of each. The earth signs are Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus. And the air signs are Libra, Aquarius, and Gemini. And then the water signs are Pisces, Scorpio, and Cancer. Okay? So, you know, what we find out here is that fire complements or trines fire, earth complements or trines earth, air complements or trines air, and water complements or trines water. And in true compatibility, I have found that having trines is like having free flow like a river, and also will develop a nurturing, understanding, supportive, emotionally similar nature. nature. You know, because people with Virgo or Aquarius, particularly in their three relationship factors of Moon, Venus, or Mars, are going to have a lot more mental and emotional needs than the rest of us. Why is that? Well, because Aquarius is an intellectual sign. It is a sign that sort of breeds genius or breeds what we call upper echelon consciousness. So Aquarian types are cocky and they think they require people of genius potential or caliber to be their friends or their lovers. Virgo also is deeply analytical, so they also need somebody else of a similar nature, of that similar analytical nature. And both these signs tend to be more old-fashioned than the rest, okay? Which means if you are somebody with Virgo or Aquarius and your three relationship factors of Moon, Venus, or Mars, and any or all of those signs, then you are going to need someone else of a Virgo-Aquarian nature to relate to. I hope that's clear. Well, let's continue here. Let's take a look here at all 12 signs. Okay, now having, first of all, the Aries factor is a very warm, affectionate, and energetic energy, which means if you meet someone with Moon, Venus, or Mars in Aries, then most of those people are usually ready to jump into the sack. They're what you call first-time lovers oftentimes. It doesn't take a whole lot to let them know whether they're compatible or not. They're body conscious. They get turned on easily. And oftentimes their relationships will work in a love at first sight type of quality. So if you're dating someone who has Moon, Venus, or Mars, or two out of three in Aries, then get ready for what we call fast person. Now there are people with Moon, Venus, and Mars in Aries that are not fast, either because they've been hurt, they've been destroyed in relationships, they found that this go-get-em type energy doesn't work. But it's typically very childlike, very energetic, very enthusiastic, and also very gung-ho. Okay, you want somebody like this in the front line of an army attack, right? Venus and Mars and Aries, ho! You know, and there they go. So here you are, the Virgo Aquarian factor type person, and you want to get to know this person on a few dates. They have Moon and Aries, and they're ready to jump your bones in about 5 minutes, okay? Well, that's what you need to know. That's what this topic's all about. Taurus isn't as quite as fast to jump in the sack, I would say, but having Moon, Venus, or Mars in the sign of Taurus is what we call a very nurturing factor. These people are huggers and they are touchers. You know, on a first date, you would find somebody that would be into hand-holding or hugging or kissing, neck. You know, the neck is a very, as far as Aries factors go, the hair, the head, the face, the nose, the eyes, the ears, the mouth are all very sensuous parts of the body with Aries factor. But Taurus, you know, we work on the throat and the neck more. So we do find that of the first two signs, Aries and Taurus factor people are pretty romantic, and they're outwardly romantic. The Aries a little bit quicker than the Taurus, and the Taurus, once they make up the mind that they love somebody or they want somebody, they can be sort of aggressive too. We're dealing with a bull here, okay? So that factor is very interesting. Now, the Gemini factor is very experimentative, and I want you to know that Moon ruling emotions, Venus ruling tenderness factor, and Mars ruling the sexual factor, the life force, you know, this is a science of combinations. So if you have a Taurus Moon, and that means Moon ruling emotions, then your emotional factor is going to be a very nurturing, pampering, touching nature. See what I mean? Whereas if you have Mars in Aries, you know, we take Mars, which is that sexual factor, and put it in the sign of aggression and energy, and that's where you get the wild person. You know, somebody that might be know what they want and they get it. They work out, they look great, they know it, they see somebody else that works out and look great, let's go. Okay, and also, you know, but you know, to finalize this topic, we are going to talk about the aspects during the end of the topic to let you know some of the bizarre variations we can get in these combinations. The Gemini factor people are interesting because they are so open-minded, they might try a whole variety of approaches in relationships, which means that you could find people with Gemini planets that could be borderline nymphomania or, you know, totally aggressive, or you could find people that are so wrapped up in their minds in the need for communication that it's like, don't touch me until I really establish lines of communication first, okay? But I have found that a lot of people with Gemini are so open-minded, like innocent children, they are willing to experiment, which means if it takes 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 dates or 2 months to get to know somebody, then they'll take the time. Or if someone they're with is an Aries factor person who's aggressive and they like them, they might kick back and see what's happening. Because Gemini factor people don't want to offend the person they're with. They can be a little insecure. So for that reason, they want to try to make things peaceful. You know, to get this topic down, you need to know where your moon is, where your Venus is, and where your Mars is. Do you? Do you know? Okay. And, okay, just want to make sure you know that. Okay, now, the Cancer factor people are people that what we would call, these are the puppies of the zodiac, okay? People with moon in Cancer with are people that emotionally are extremely romantic and love to schmooze, okay? These are the schmoozers. And Venus in Cancer people are said to be the most passionate and the most voluptuous because of the way they serve others. They're like, they get turned on or they get a response when they turn another person on. So, women and men with Venus in Cancer are vulnerable to the desires of others, and because they are so sensitive and sweet and tender, they are very responsive to the touch. You know, whereas a lot of people, sometimes you can hit them with a sledgehammer. They don't know you've touched them. Venus in Cancer, you just touch the surface of a person's skin, and they will give you a quick reaction here. They also like to be mothered, and they will mother you. And now, women with Mars in Cancer could have a problem because Mars is misplaced in Cancer. It's in fall. So this complicates emotions and therefore relationships with Mars in fall in Cancer and makes you too much, too sensitive and too vulnerable and too moody and all those things that are Cancer. Whereas Moon rules Cancer, so it does well. Their Cancer moons are so sweet, loving, and caring. And Venus in Cancer is also tender and responsive. Now, when we get to Leo here, Leo is similar to Aries because Leo is aggressive, but Leo, unlike the childlike quality of Aries, is also stubborn and bossy and dominant and oftentimes arrogant. So whereas the Aries might jump into relationships or be more aggressive, if you have Moon, Venus, or Mars in Leo, you will be more particular about who you jump with or go with, but still, the force of love is strong, it is intense, and it also can feel dominating or enclosing, okay? Because we do find Leo moons will try to engulf their partners if they love them, so that can get kind of heavy. And people with Venus in Leo are pretty tough-natured individuals, and they go for tough-natured people, so there's lots of fighting, sometimes friction. And people with Mars in Leo also are people that are very, very creative and what we would call authoritative oftentimes. So, you know, whenever I meet a person, or especially a woman with Moon, Venus, or Mars in Leo, right away I think, oh, God, this person's going to mother me and father me and sister me and brother me and everything else. So that can be kind of complicated, too, but it does work. If you have somebody with humble Leo factor in their chart, that can be fun. And look out, because if these people fall in love with Leo factor and Moon, Venus, or Mars in that sign, it will be a powerful force to be reckoned with as far as that energy. It's very intense. Now, Virgo is really a different kind of sign. And I guess I don't get along very well with Virgo moons or people with Venus and Mars and Virgo, but I'm not alone. I am not alone because, frankly, we do find a tremendous amount of people with Virgo factor in their chart that have complications with relationships. And that is why an overwhelming amount of people with Venus and or Mars in Virgo, I'd say over half, are gay or homosexual or bisexual because their relationships require diversity or experimentation. You know, they usually have difficulty trying to figure it out. They're always analyzing, and they are very open-minded like Gemini factor people, so they experiment. Now, if they're not gay, if they're heterosexual, it just takes a little bit to encourage a person with Virgo factor to be old-fashioned, because Virgo is an old-fashioned energy. So if you take a little boy or a little girl that has Venus, Mars, or Moon in Virgo, and you put him in a lifestyle with parents that are extremely, you know, what we call old-fashioned, like let's say your mother wants a little girl with Mars in Virgo to remain a virgin until she's married, no problem. You know, like that little girl is going to totally agree with that, and then when it comes time for her to finally get involved in making love, it could be hard for her to let go of that Virgo factor. So oftentimes when I am dating or if I meet women with Venus, Mars, or Moon in Virgo, I will note that some of their sexual values could be extreme as far as celibacy or as far as closing down and shutting off romance. You know, it's like when Virgo loves, it serves. But if Virgo is confused or if Virgo is unsure, then what it does is it creates all types of prerequisites, like let's be friends first. first, or like, let's get to know each other first. You know, it's like Virgo doesn't like to make any mistakes. So sometimes they'll put someone through the mill or through hell or set themselves up as a total challenge to be conquered until they finally get to a point where they have decided that they love someone and they fit all their qualities and characteristics and such, and that's when oftentimes they get burned. And that's why a lot of people with Venus and Mars and Virgo are either not married, single, or celibate. Okay, and even late coming virgins. Now Virgo moons do much better. If of the three things to have in Virgo, if you have a Virgo moon, that's great. That's wonderful for love and romance, because as long as you don't analyze your emotions too much, you're fine. But Venus in Virgo is in detriment. It's in fall or like that. And Mars in Virgo is, of course, is a sign where these people can be critical, they can overanalyze, they can set themselves up for big prerequisites or needs emotionally. See, like you talk about a woman with Mars in Aries, she's not going to even think. She's just going to jump her lover. Mars in Virgo women are going to sit there, may need a college degree from their lover before they do anything. So, you know, it gets complicated. So what does this tell you? Well, obviously, if you have Mars in Virgo, then you should probably hang with somebody who has Venus in Virgo, so that way you'll get along better. Because if you have Mars in Virgo and go out with somebody who has Venus in Cancer, look out, because the Venus in Cancer, if he's attracted to you, is going to want some romance, and your Virgo is going to go, wait a minute, I've got my mother and my father and my Sunday school teacher on my shoulders here, and they're saying no way, Jose, and my Venus in Cancer is saying, sorry lady, I'm excited about you. Isn't it funny how people with Virgo factor usually also are so good looking? You know, they take such good care of themselves. They're so body conscious and face conscious and fashion conscious that they become such targets and sex symbols that we all go after them, but we all are said to sit down, relax, be patient. No, leave us alone. You know, I wish they wouldn't look so sexy. Anyway, at least we know about them, right? Anyway, okay, let's go over to Libra now. Now, Libra is a very charming, manipulative sign. And frankly, if a person has Moon, Venus, or Mars in Libra and they want something from you romantically, look out, because a tremendous power is going to be exuded to get what a person wants from another person, sexually speaking. So this is a sign that can use you or be used, either one. And these people are usually very pretty, are balanced, very charismatic, and they usually smell better, and their skin quality, their body chemistry is usually very romantic and sweet. And we do find that the Libra moons love relationships, need relationships, want relationships, overlap relationships, and they usually are never alone unless they have horrible aspects on that moon. Venus and Libra people get married quick, or they're married lots of times. They sometimes will settle with people that are wrong for them because they're so relationship-oriented. See, now this is heavy stuff, because understanding, like I said at the beginning of the topic, that there are 1,728 varieties of the three possibilities of Moon, Venus, and Mars. If you had someone with Venus in Virgo and Mars in Libra with a Scorpio moon, they're not going to be able to understand how they feel from one day to the next. One day they could be Nympho, the next day they could be like Mother Superior. So who knows where they're coming from, right? Anyway, Mars is also in detriment in Libra, and people with Mars in Libra, frankly, will have a little confusion as far as taking the Aries energy from the planet Mars and trying to infuse it with the relationship energy of Libra. So Mars and Libra person also are a little impatient when it comes to bonding with someone. They want to bond a little quicker. So that we'll find there a little relationship aggression with Mars and Libra. And that could be interesting. Now, the Scorpio is very intense and very mysterious. And frankly, if you have Scorpio planets and Moon, Venus, or Mars, look out, because you may have nothing to go on. Because already you're more sensitive, more sexual, more passionate, more vulnerable, and more extreme in moods and emotions than all the rest of the Venus, Marses, and Moons. Scorpio Moon is in fall. Emotionally, we get thrashed. We get thrashed by people we're with. We are the best lovers, by far, the most passionate, the most virile, the most orgasmic, by far. People take advantage of that. They use us as release. They use us until they're fulfilled and drop us. They also use us emotionally. They love and hate us. And they develop all kinds of strange emotional karma, which creates the Scorpio moon in the first place. That's because we acted like that in past lives. So if you have a Scorpio moon, look out. You don't have a whole lot to go on. So the best, my advice here is to try not to show too much emotion or discuss it that much. Just try to flow like a river and don't take it so personal. Venus in Scorpio is by far, no question about it, the most passionate and the most sensuous. And people with Venus in Scorpio, unlike Venus in Virgo or Venus in Aquarius, if they like you, look out. They may gently remove your clothing because this is what you call very intense energy, and Venus in Scorpio people will be pleased. And that's why a lot of people with Venus in Scorpio get grabbed up quick. They end up married often. In my experiences in dating, I have rarely found women with Venus in Scorpio because they're all taken. Because men are not fools, and they want the passionate bunnies. And those women with Venus in Scorpio fit the bill. When it comes to love, sex, and romance, if you like it, then marry a Venus in Scorpio, and they're hard to find. On the other hand, women with Mars in Scorpio abound. They're everywhere. They're available. They're single. They're stubborn. They can be arrogant. They're picky. They're petty. Oftentimes, they're into so much variety that they are spoiled by their lovers, and they always compare all their lovers with their current lover, and the current one can rarely live up to expectations. So we do find Scorpio Mars women to be very extreme in emotions. It's love-hate. It could be fatal attraction or love story, depending on their mood. And oftentimes, Mars and Scorpio, of course, can be very complicated, although sometimes they do get married and they are happy because they drop their guard and their ego. I think this is a good topic today to really explain a lot of this garbage we deal with on a regular basis. Okay, let's continue. The Sag factor. Sagittarius moons are very pleasant. They're clowns. They're happy, and they love to travel, and they like romance when they travel. And oftentimes, Sagittarius moons do well in relationships as long as they have plenty of space. The key here for Sag factor is love them when they need it and give them room when they've had enough, because they are independent and they like to do things on their own sometimes. Venus in Sag is warm and affectionate and powerfully passionate when they are in the mood, but when they're not, leave them alone. Mars in Sagittarius also is warm and affectionate. They are also super independent. Real strange things where women with Mars in Sag want romance, want relationships, but they want their own life on the side at the same time. Capricorn is an interesting factor. Capricorn is known as a lusty sign. Next to Scorpio, it is a lusty sign, and it serves. And unlike Virgo, it doesn't analyze. It goes for it. It's a cardinal sign, so it jumps in. And Capricorn moons next to Scorpio moons and Cancer moons and Taurus moons are very nurturing, very affectionate, and extremely passionate. We do find Venus in Capricorn, like Venus in Scorpio, they get married up quite a bit. If they're not focused or obsessed on some career surge or some career thing, Venus and Capricorn women will make good wives if their career is to be a wife. If they're focused on career, then forget it. Women with Venus and Capricorn or Mars and Capricorn will have two lovers. One's their regular lover and the other one's their career. And Mars and Capricorn women, frankly, they may make a career out of a man, or think that a man is part of their career. A lot of Capricorn Mars women are single because they are so interested. In other words, they don't make a man feel like top priority. They're there, but they're just not always as important. Okay, now the Aquarius factor is very strange when it comes to relationships, and that's why a lot of people with Aquarius factors are not married. They're alone, they're single, or they're divorced, because Aquarius rules divorce. So be forewarned. If you're dating someone with Moon, Venus, or Mars in Aquarius, or you have it, it's a divorce factor. Sudden romance, sudden breakup is the key here. Also, Aquarius known as to be the most flaky sign, the most undependable as far as commitment, because they get frightened or they forget, they flake out. Aquarius moons can be very cold. If they're sexually pleased and if they're fulfilled, then sometimes you won't see them or be able to touch them for a while. Whereas the Aquarius factor people are said to be the best lovers because they're the hardest to get in the sack. When they finally are there, they are wonderful. But when they're satisfied, the sex life is sort of directed and run by the Aquarius factor person. Aquarius, Venus. Women are, you know, the focus here with men or women with Venus or Mars and Aquarius is they think it's important to be friends first. I think that's a bunch of garbage. I think you need to separate your friends with your lovers. I think if you are a lover with someone to begin with, they'll automatically respect you and be your friend. In other words, you don't have to jump in the sack with them, but I'm just saying, I think it's important if you're going to be romantic in a love relationship to start off gradually in that direction. The mistake a lot of people make is they want their men and women to be friends, and that's exactly what they remain. They're friends. Then when they finally want them to be lovers, they're like, no, you know, I'm your friend. If we make love, it's going to change the relationship. That's why a lot of people with Moon, Venus, and Mars figure out ways in Aquarius to avoid intimacy by having this thing with friendship, which I think really does interfere. I have Venus conjunct Uranus in my chart, and usually the women that I'm romantic with become my best friends. If I start off with friends with them at the beginning, they never become my lovers because I don't allow that, because I don't want to ruin the friendship. That's the way I found it works for me. Oftentimes, people with Venus and Mars and Aquarius have goals to get married and have relationships, but like I say, if you try to direct your relationships, if you have Moon, Venus, or Mars in Aquarius, and in other words, everything goes either your way or the highway, then your lovers will probably end up going the highway, because what you have to do is learn to cooperate. Aquarius is a stubborn, fixed sign, and they think they know it all, and obviously they don't. And I'm not angry at them or anything. No, I'm not angry at them or anything. I meet these people with Aquarius and Virgo factor. I'm automatically their friends, and that's it. Nothing ever more, I'll tell you. Pisces is an interesting factor sign. Pisces moons, they say Pisces are easy. And I got to tell you this. When you meet people with Moon, Venus, or Mars in Pisces, a big question mark should pop into your head because they may have a big track record here. I want to be honest with you. So Pisces moons can be easy if they love you, but Venus in Pisces is very romantic and passionate, close to Venus in Scorpio and Cancer, so they get married up quick. And Mars in Pisces, gosh, you know what? They'll dump you and be dumped back and forth because of the psychic games that are going on. But Pisces factor is a very sensitive, loving, nurturing, vulnerable, and also drug and alcohol related placement. So be aware if you're with Pisces, Moon, Venus, or Mars, they may have a bad habit that could bug you. That's why they oftentimes belong together. Topics like this in astrology work real well when you know your chart, and if you don't have your chart yet, it's tough to know where your Moon, Venus, and Mars is, or where the Moon, Venus, and Mars of your lover or friend is to understand these topics. That's why I tell people, take the show as a correspondence course and get the charts you need to understand it. One final comment on this topic. Frankly, trines and sextiles are good. If you have trines and sextiles to Moon, Venus, or Mars in your chart, that will, and also sextiles, like I said, that will increase your overall serenity within and your calmness and your ability to cooperate, negotiate, and also attract more positive elements in your life. Trines and sextiles are dharmic, which means you've done something good in the past life to earn some balance. So that's why you have trines and sextiles on your Venus, your Mars, or your Moon to help exude balance, okay? So we do find people that are a lot less wandering, a lot less nomadic, will have more trines and sextiles on their Moon, on their Venus, or on their Mars. Like my Moon has squares on it, my Venus has square on it, my Mars has four sextiles on it, and that's it. So I'm like both ways. Sometimes I'm serene and sometimes I'm not. We do find, though, that people with squares and oppositions on their Moon, Venus, or Mars are shown tremendous karma from past life. The oppositions mean that we set ourselves up. In other words, our prerequisites are too high. The type of people we think that will make us happy are people out of storybooks, out of films, out of soap operas. And, you know, it usually if you think that you need something incredibly intense to make you happy, you're in trouble. And if you have oppositions to your Mars, to your Venus, or to your Moon, then you're fooling yourself, and you probably should settle in with someone that's a lot less powerful than what you think you need. You know, forget all these qualities. You know, it's weird how we set ourselves up to think that we love the type of people that everyone want. The Jacqueline Bisset, the Tom Selleck, the Bruce Willis, you know, the Farrah Fawcett. You know, that's not the way it goes, folks. You know, like, just because you like someone that looks like Tom Selleck, this guy Tom Selleck might not be the priest you're looking for. And maybe he's used over 5,000 women sexually, and you're just another victim, you know? So every time you think you want somebody that's that special, check your chart and see if you have oppositions there, and you're fooling yourself, and you're trying to conquer a mountain that many people have already climbed before, and you're just being sleazy about it. So forget those prerequisites. You know, you're better off going after somebody lonely, who has no experience, that doesn't look like the type of person that everyone would go after. That's the kind of women I like. I like women that no one's touched. You know, the wallflower, the one that's hanging out there that no one's bothering, because I say to myself, well, at least I know that 1,000 guys haven't had that woman. You know, it's the beautiful foxes, the beach bunnies, you know, the ones that wear the bikinis and all the makeup that don't have relationships that make you wonder, like, my God, how many guys has this guy, girl been with? Okay? So oppositions to are in challenges, and squares are insecure. Squares are stress and insecurity, and if you have squares in your Venus, Mars, or Moon, there could be an emotional problem there, and the more squares and oppositions you have to Moon, Venus, and Mars is not good for compatibility or for commitment, and it creates a nomadic or wandering quality about us. Okay? And there's a good topic. I liked it.